5 years ago, the railroad started in America. Rugged men of yesteryear went out in the wilderness with vision in their eyes and big 9-pound hammers in their hands. Went out in the wilderness to build the great spider web of steel rails, the transcontinental railroad to span our country.
And across him all, we flung one shining steel rail.
As these men went out in the wilderness and toils and inched their way across the vast bosom of America. I thought I'd throw a little sex in the show. But this wasn't just a fun job. There was dangers in this job as they built the railroads up the mountains and down the mountains and in across the deserts and over raging rivers, and they had to span crevices, deep crevices in the ground, and in the bottom of the crevices there was
Putin's
humans with claws and foam coming out of these humans' mouths, and the railroad men, they're going, "Whoa, look at those humans down there! I'm not gonna build any railroad! Across the crowds, there's humans in there!" There were no
Putins
in the crevices because we don't have
Putins.
There are no Putins in America. Well, maybe some came over to visit. Don't visit. Now, if you want to keep your story truthful, you get rid of the
Putins
right now. I'm not going down that crevice. Well, there was these vicious beasts in these deep crevices, and these rare men said, "Well, look at those vicious beasts in the crevices. They look like
Putins."
But they weren't. Afraid, yet the railroads were completed.
That's not a well. It's the eye of the Holy Serpent Mound on which you're standing.
It's a butte.
No, it's a mound.
And right purty, too. Can you move it?
But why?
Railroad's coming through. Right now.
Stopping for?
We in Goshen yet?
Can't go no further. This here's engine territory.
Well then, it's treaty time!
Yet the transcontinental railroads were completed, and a big feast was transpired for these rugged railroad men. And the sole substance for this big feast for these railroad men, the sole substance was hotcakes boiled in cabbage juice. It's not so popular now.
Where are you from? You're dressed kind of strange.
Oh, well, this is really very natural in the Haight-Ashbury up in San Francisco. The newspapers refer to it as Flower Land.
Hello, sir. A little surprise for the little woman from the little flower shoppy around the little corner. We have a special today on roses, begonias, and nightshade.
No, I want that big vase of carnations there in the window.
Ah, yes. 2 dozen of our most beautiful blooms. Just let me wrap them up.
Oh, no, don't bother. I'll eat them here.
Good gracious, sir. What is it you're doing?
Oh, well, I just couldn't face another one of my wife's bran muffin prune juice and hominy grit breakfast. So she says, if you don't like the way I cook, why don't you go out and have a carnation instant breakfast?
How do you like them?
They're a little dry.
Well, no wonder, sir. You're supposed to mix a carnation instant breakfast with milk.
What a colorful idea. Are there any other flavors?
Of course. Hollyhock, snapdragon, gladiola, cactus.
I think I'll stick with carnation.
Put the miracle additive in your day. THC. Take home carnation. Instant breakfast.
Start off your day with Carnation Instant Breakfast and jump along to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird, you know. It's just cement. It's just like L.A.
How did you make it? How did you happen to make it to the show? Generally, the people that, from the flower movement and the hippie movement, they generally don't come to TV shows. They have other
things. Well, you know, somebody, I hitchhiked down here from San Francisco, and I was just sort of hanging out, you know, and somebody laid a ticket on me to come here. And, you know, anything that's free, you know, is a groove. Because, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of money myself, you know, and TV is so weird anyway, you know. You know, you never really expect anything far out to happen in a TV studio.
No.
It's really far out. I was just like sitting here in my seat digging you and everything, and it was really, really wild, man, the way you came down the audience, you know, and you started to get everybody to sing and everything. I mean, it was a lot of love, and everybody was very happy and everything. I mean, it was really beautiful. I just started to blossom.
Well, I'm glad I could be part of that blossoming.
Wow, well, you really were, man. You really turned me on.
What do you mean exactly by turning it on?
Oh, well, turn on is like if, you know, you press a certain button and you get kind of like a high-frequency response in your soul, sort of, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, like, you know, it's all of a sudden, you really dig that wherever you're at is really where it's at.
Huh. Where what's at?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, like, well, wow, wherever you go, man, you know, that's where you're at. And wherever you're at, I mean, that's it, man. I mean, like we're all it, man, and this is where it's at.
You mean this is it, huh?
Oh, yeah, wow. You're really groovy, man. You're really too much.
Really?
Wow, I love you.
Do you watch this show? I mean, you are kind of a different thing than I am. Do you watch our show at all, the Smothers Brothers show?
Oh, man, you're putting me on.
No, I'm serious, do you?
Oh, wow, I mean, like, this is one of the most far-out shows on television. I mean, right. You know, man, you do all these strange numbers, you know, like fairy numbers and animal numbers. And
like that. No, I think you've got, not fairy numbers.
Well, you know,
fantasy
numbers and that kind of stuff, yeah. You know, there's so many groovy things. I mean, like with the color, you use all the far-out colors and everything. And, wow, you know that thing with the Jefferson airplane when you had that light show and the whole TV was going like this? Wow, that was really far out, you know, to dig your show and then turn the sound off.
Why do you turn the sound off?
Oh, wow, you know, I mean, to turn the sound off and then put on somebody who's really groovy, you know, like the Beatles and the Mothers and all that. And it's really weird, you know, because there's no sound coming out of your mouth. You're just, you know, talking away and nothing's happening. Wow. It's very weird, you know, and then you flip the vertical hold, you know, and your head starts flying up in the TV.
I had to pick her, huh?
You know, you're really weird when you're not saying anything and your head is flying up.
I can imagine.
Yeah, wow. This is really the, you know, the highest show I've ever been on, I'll tell you. Yeah, and I've never used television before.
I guess it could become an expensive habit.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's cheaper than war.
Yeah, well, better than that, too.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Our guests for tonight are the committee, Dion, Jennifer Warren.
Right.
Really a great new singer. And a special guest star, Donovan. Tommy also has a special guest, too, and he'd like to introduce him right now.
Right. I have a beetle.
Yeah, but it's not the kind of beetle you would expect it to be.
It's the kind of beetle that you, I think you hoped it would be. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Harrison.
I don't know, all of you, I think, saw the, several weeks ago we had on, your people did,
Hey Jude
and Revolution. Beautiful. We thought, Tommy and I both thought that Hey Jude was the best presentation that we've ever seen of the Beatles, and we're glad it was.
Yes,
on our
so
show.
Are we. That is true.
The Matt Barnes on the dick. This is Tommy, and this is my brother Dick.
Hi, dear. Enjoyed your work. You look different in person.
Yeah, so do you. Yeah.
It's all the makeup. Too much makeup.
Do you have something important?
Something very important to say on American television.
You know, we don't have opportunity of saying anything important because it's American television. Every time you say something and try to say something important, clap.
Cue the limes. Well, whether you can say it or not, keep trying to say it.
That's what's important.
You get that? Right? Yeah. That is very important. Cue. Just a minute.
Wait a second.
Okay. Cue the clap now.
Hey, Harry. Oh, what's this drink you've handed me? Why, these taste like milkshakes. Oh, give me another one. Hey, Smothers Brothers, you suck! What? Hey, don't put your hands on me. Get your hands off of me. Whoa. Wazoo! They tasted like milkshakes. Like milkshakes, I tell you. Milkshakes! I hope my wife Yoko doesn't find out about this.
And it would go to the censor, and they would cross that off, and then something we wanted. And then we would give them the outrageous, and then keep in what we wanted. But if you look at our shows now, they're so tame. I mean, I can't remember anything that we did then that would even open your eyes now and say, wow, you know, that's unusual. The one thrust of the show is, Smothers Brothers were against the Vietnam War. That's really, you know, an attitude that they had that other shows didn't have. Laugh-In kind of touched on it at the time, but we hit it fairly hard.
There was an organization at the time called Another Mother for Peace, and it was pretty well known in Southern California. It had a little, wonderful little drawing that had a dove and a gun or something. And so we put that on the thing, said for Another Mother for Peace, and they said, you can't show that. I said, why? He said, it could be a communist front organization. And we brought on Pete Seeger singing Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, which was satirizing Lyndon Johnson about this quagmire of the Vietnam. So there's many of these things, and Joan Baez, we brought on, she dedicated a song to her husband who was going to prison because he resisted the draft up above board and out in front and not going to Canada or something, but he did it in the legal process. So they said, so they cut out the fact that he was going to prison for resisting the draft and left in, I'm dedicating this song to my husband who's going to prison. So those are things that could get me crazy.
And here's where it really got weird. The doctor looked like a classic Freudian, complete with goatee and tiny European glasses. He sat me in front of his imposing desk in his closet-sized office with an open transom window behind him from which drifted flakes of snow. "Do you have any girlfriends, Philip?" he asked. I answered yes. "Do you have any boyfriends?" A loaded question. So I put the gun to my head and said, "Well, I'm an actor, so of course I do."
That's right. Yes, it's a song about a problem and how with good old American ingenuity, some people attempt to solve it. The song is called "The Draft Dodger Rag." Count it off, George.
Oh, I'd prefer not.
Dickie, you count it off.
No, you'd count it off, Tommy. You're the one with the natural rhythm. You're the great musician.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now, we're just typical American boys from a typical American town. We believe in God and Senator Dodd and keeping old Castro down.
And when it came our time to serve, we knew better dead than red.
But when we got to the draft board, buddy, this is what we said.
Well, I'm only 18, I got a rough shift spleen, and I always carry a purse. Got eyes like a bat, and my feet all flat, and my asthma's getting worse. Oh, when I think of my career, and my sweetheart dear, and my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm going to school, and I'm working in a defense plant. Got a dislocated disc and a cracked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs.
And when a bombshell hits, I get psychedelic fits. I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs.
When the weakness flows, I can't touch my toes. I can hardly touch my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, friend, why, I'd probably sneeze.
Well, when I'm only 18, got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. Got eyes like a bat, and my feet all flat, and my asthma's getting worse.
When I'm thinking of my career, and my cigar's clear, and
poor old invalid, and besides, I ain't no fool. I'm going to school, and I'm working in a defense plan.
Now, Ho Chi Minh sure ain't no friend. That's plain for all to see.
And I know someone's got a fight over there, but why does it have to be me?
So I wish you well, Sarge. Give him heck. I'm bound for Canada, you know.
And if you ever get a war without blood and gore, boy, I'll be the first to go. But until then, Mr. McNamara.
I got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat and my feet all flat and my asthma's getting worse. Oh, when I think of my career and my sweetheart dear and my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plant.
Make love, not war.
Watch it now. Look where you're going.
Oh, sorry, old buddy. I just can't walk so good yet in this high roller heels.
You're doing just on my arm here. You're doing all right.
Now, look. If we're going to do this crazy thing, let's do it right. You got to call me Apricot Brown.
Huh? Oh, Apricot.
Yeah.
And I'm, who am I?
Barbara Q. Ribs.
Ribs. Oh, that's yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I guess we're ready. With these balloons under our jerseys, I think we look like real roller maidens.
Well, you don't. Not with that eyelash hanging down over your nose.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, come on, help me, will you?
Oh,
come on, you're shaking. Don't act so scared.
Well, this isn't acting. This is real. That Johnny Fresno mob scares me to death.
Oh, now get a hold of yourself. We've got to save the girls.
Yeah, save them for a rainy day.
No. Save them from themselves. Now come on, and now don't open your mouth. This is the biggest social event of the year, and try to think like a girl.
I am trying to think like a girl, but all I keep thinking of is girls.
Oh, yeah, just like in that prurient dream.
That's funny, old pal, and you should say that, because in that makeup and that outfit, you look like somebody in my dream.
Oh, don't you get fresh. Oh, look out. Here comes someone. This is it. Let's go.
Oh, caramba, holy mother, look out for me.
Come on.
It did the trick. Without saying another word, he began stamping an alarming number of sheets of paper right out of Waiting for the Electrician, ending with sign here, and here, and here, and here. And then he gave me a voucher for a free lunch and said, "Okay, Philip, you can go home now."
Best review I ever read of the Fireside Theater was in Rolling Stone. When a guy wrote in to say that he would be listening to us in the rice paddies in Vietnam with the bullets flying over his head on his earphones, it was the only thing that kept him sane. I like that review because I got to tell you, the Fireside Theater, as I see it, can't speak for all four of the guys, but I think it's very true, were a platoon of guerrillas. From 1968 to 1973, we fought the Holocaust in Vietnam, and we won, and we all are the walking wounded because of it. We are veterans. We are truly Vietnam veterans. People didn't spit on us because we spat first, but we were guerrillas, and I honor us for that. I think we ought to get ribbons. Small ribbons that we could wear in the lapels of our tank tops.